Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements. Under cloudy skies and the winds are southeast at 7 at News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. It's the final countdown, Spence. First day of the last week here at the radio station for yours truly. Going to be a lot of lasts this week. It's the last Monday, the last time I have to pack breakfast for a while. just the last time I have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning.
Well, I'll call you next Monday to see what you're doing.
That would be great. Mark Hamlin, who takes over next Monday, has already suggested that we do something together regularly going forward, but something along the lines of a get-off-my-lawn segment.
Oh, wow.
I think is what he was talking about. So, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, there's Europe and the final countdown. I'd forgotten how much hair these guys had. These were true 80s and early 90s big hair bands. From back in the day.
Was that from a movie?
It was probably in a movie, maybe more than one. I don't know. I actually remember playing this on the radio back in the day.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, we begin the final week, and it's at least at this point a little bittersweet, but we'll try to get rid of the bitter and concentrate on the sweet. How was your weekend?
Boring.
Did you get out in the yard like you wanted to?
No, because it was raining on Saturday, and it was cold, and yesterday was cold and windy. So
I stepped out. It looked, after the sun finally came out yesterday, it looked gorgeous. I stuck my nose out the slider window there, and the wind was blowing. I thought, holy moly, it's cold out here. I'm not going out there.
No, I didn't either.
So I did. I did kind of a trial run for retirement. I did as close to nothing as possible yesterday.
Wow.
There's a permanent imprint of my butt in that recliner. So, and it fits nicely because it's mine.
Well, my wife was out with her sister in Indiana all weekend, so I was a bachelor. So
wow.
That was much fun.
Yeah. Was she wandering Indiana?
No, she went down there to see her daughter and grandkids.
Oh. Did she find them?
They were yeah. Yeah. You know what I found, though? Do you get, I don't know about your TV situation, do you get the Decades channel?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's
kind of a Me TV kind of thing?
Well, yeah, but it's better.
Okay.
And they had, for several hours, they had the old Mission Impossible series on, and I forgot how good that series was.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in years.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I was glad I found it.
Well, good. No, I don't, in all the places that I look for things to watch, I've never seen that anywhere.
Huh.
It might be on one of the platforms that I have access to. Who knows? It's so confusing anymore. So while we're on the subject of the TV, I watched a part of the Oscars last night, so you don't have to. And I'll dive into that a little more in depth after the 8:30 news this morning. But they were trying to, in effect, make something out of nothing because, man, just a bunch of movies that nobody has seen because they're, you know, because of the pandemic, for starters, but also because many of them are just on these various streaming platforms. And if you don't subscribe to that particular platform, then you can't see it.
Yeah.
And it's just, boy, a lot of low-budget films. One of the gals that was up for an award early on, I don't remember if it was Best Screenplay or what it was, but she said they filmed filmed their movie in 23 days. And somebody else was talking about an incredibly low budget. There was a lot of human condition type movies this year, with subjects being racism and sexual assault and economic inequality and addiction and dementia and the destructive power of political disinformation, what it means to be an immigrant in America. So it was all over the place, and it was just weird.
I want to see that one. It was called The Father with Anthony Hopkins. And
yeah. In fact, he won Best Actor last
That's supposed
night.
To be really good. I'm going to see that.
Right. Yeah, I do too. I've seen a couple of them, but we'll get into that again at 8:40. One of the FX channels, and there's several of them, FX, FXX, FXM, FXS, PQRT, LMNOP, I don't know what they are. But anyway, they were running old Oscar winners over the weekend. And so I ended up watching some old movies.
Did you?
Classics that I know I should have seen but haven't. Like, I actually watched Patton for the first time.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I had never seen Patton before. All I've seen is the clips and that picture of George C. Scott in front of that giant flag.
Yeah.
Or the clip of him.
My dad took us to see that in the theater back when.
Wow.
Because my dad actually saw him in World War II.
Really?
Yeah.
Served for him or just saw him?
Well, they were in different divisions.
Oh, okay.
But he went by, my dad said he went by on a Jeep.
Really?
Next to my dad.
Did he shoot anybody?
No.
With his Pearl Handler revolver? Yeah, you're right. That was a good movie. And then just, I don't know, I just got into watching old movies, some of them good, some of them stupid. I actually watched The Blue Lagoon, which was Brooke Shields' breakout performance way back in the day. And something that I've seen some of the Jack Ryan stuff down through the years, but I had never seen Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit.
I haven't seen that.
Which was kind of the Jack Ryan origin story. And it was pretty good.
Mm.
I watched that. I rewatched The Martian over the weekend.
Long movie.
I know. So was Patton.
Yeah.
Patton was like three hours or more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's... I was a true vegetable this weekend. I got planted, and I've yet to be harvested.
Do you have popcorn with you?
No, I didn't do the popcorn thing, but I was sitting there. I also watched I watched some golf, and that was pretty good. And then do you have a Major League Baseball Network? Do you ever watch any? Do you get that?
I have it, but I don't watch. I watch the Tigers games on Bally Sports, but that's about it.
Well, I caught part of the Indians-Yankees game.
Oh.
Was that yesterday? I don't remember. It's all a blur now. Because, I'm from Cleveland, so.
Yeah.
And they were beating the hell out of the Yankees, and that's a good day in anybody's book, except Joe Borenstein's. but it was, I don't know if this is a regular thing or if this is how Major League Baseball covers games, but basically what they had going on there was sports talk TV with the game as almost an aside. You know how in a lot of sporting events now they'll do the thing where they keep the game up over on one side of the screen and they'll play the commercial on the other side?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this had the game up on about, 2/3 of the screen, but down on the bottom were four windows with four guys, and they were doing sports talk. And quite honestly, they were talking about virtually everything except the game. There was no play-by-play going on. And it was like, well... What the hell? I mean, every once in a while, they would react to something cool happening on the game, but nobody was actually doing play-by-play of the game or color commentary. They were just talking about all kinds of stuff. One of the guys was a former Pittsburgh Steeler, and he was talking about what it was like to play games in Cleveland when he was playing football. Well, okay. I thought I was watching a baseball game here.
That's strange.
Like I said, it's the first time I've ever watched a game on the MLB network, and I don't know if it's a regular thing or if they just do it on weekends. I don't know what was going on there. So, anyway, I did watch that. And then what else? Here's a question for you. And this came out of watching some weekend news, because I got to do that, too. Boy, that's going to be one of the things that I do not miss when it comes time to hang up the headphones at the end of the week, or won't miss. And that is the need to feel like I'm in touch and know what's going on, meaning that I have to watch the news all the time, because, God, that's depressing.
Yeah, it is.
Good it Lord. It's just, oh man, those, the people that are, you know, the stuck on that stuff and watching it all the time, particularly if you're just watching one particular network, my God, that's got to fry your brain. Anyway, thing that came to mind as I'm watching some news is why, go into a Seinfeld episode here, why do news anchors feel the need to add some personal commentary line after every reporter's report? You know, the reporter's out in the field, gets done, it comes back to the news anchor at the desk, and they go, what a heart-wrenching situation. Such an important story. Our thoughts are with the family. Why do they do that? It drives me nuts. They don't need to do that.
Show their humanity.
Oh, I know they're human. Give me a break. Just report the news and let us decide whether or not it's an important story or whether our thoughts should be with the family. What does the family care if the weekend anchor on NBC News has just sent thoughts and prayers their way? Honey, we just got thoughts and prayers from the weekend anchor on ABC News. We're going to be okay. I sure hope they mention us on Good Morning America.
Yeah, I don't get to see any of those shows. Do you?
No. Anyway, just another reason that you should read the news rather than watch it.
Now, do you record... Do you have a DVR at your house where you can record things?
On YouTube TV, there's a feature there that, I can record.
So you can watch The View and...
I can, but I won't.
The chat or the talk or whatever it is.
The chew.
The chew, yeah.
Yes, I will have that option. I guarantee you I will not act upon it. I hate those shows.
Oh, I do too. My gosh.
Speaking of hate, you wrap up page one of your morning announcements with this recall of just a horrific venture into phone call hell on Friday. I tried to get a hold of the bank that our family does banking with over in Ontario for, you know, the family family compound purposes. All I wanted to do was talk to somebody at the branch that we deal with close to where the cottage is up north there and ask them a simple question about getting money to them to pay the bills and that kind of stuff. Holy crap. I got locked into their, it's with the Royal Bank of Canada. That's a huge entity.
Oh, okay.
So I got into I looked up the local branch, the give phone number. I called it, and you get their national phone answering, and it's all robotics. It's all punch in your number, and just it's all automated. And I could not get through to anybody or anything that would allow me to actually talk to a human being. I kept going around in circles, and I lost my cool. I'm yelling at my phone. And yelling at whoever was on the other line, whether it was a robot or whatever it was. And they said at one point or a couple of points that they were recording for, security reasons and training purposes and whatever. I thought, boy, if they're recording that, I'm sure they think I'm out of my freaking mind. Then I found another number, an 800 number to call, and I get some guy, honest to God, I think I was calling India. I could barely understand this guy. And he at one point says, okay, I will call the branch, and if they are there and available, I'll put you through to them. If not, you can leave a message. Then he comes back and starts yammering on about mobile apps and online banking, and I'm going, good Lord. I gave up. I just gave up because it was just stupid. You cannot connect me to a human being at the branch that I want to talk to, then I'm done.
That is really awful.
Oh, my God. I haven't been that frustrated in a long time. And they felt my wrath, by golly. And nothing will change. Morning.
Monday, Monday. so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
I hope that so far this Monday morning is everything you hoped it would be, Spence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know you set your expectations pretty high on a Monday.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Monday morning, only to have them dashed upon the rocks as soon as we open the microphones here. Oh, it's 6:41, 19 away from 7 o'clock. Jim Gifford and Spencer Rivers here on WSJM. Speaking of Monday mornings, let's back up and talk for a second about Sunday morning, because on the Sunday morning CBS version, St. Joe and Benton Harbor showed up there yesterday. I don't know whether you caught that or not.
I want to.
There was a discussion on race relations in one of the segments on CBS Sunday morning, and they included an updated version or interview with Alex Kotlowitz, whom you may know or remember as the author of The Other Side of the River, which generated all kinds of controversy back in the 90s here in the Twin Cities. That was after I left, so I missed out on all of that. I wasn't here for that. But it was a fascinating look back at his interviews with Benton Harbor residents and how they were afraid to go to St. Joe, and then conversely, as according to Mr. Kotlowitz, how St. Joe residents admitted the same thing, that they were afraid to go to Benton Harbor, but at the same time asked the author, why are you writing about this? There's not a race problem here. What?
Oh, my.
Do a little self-examination there and see if maybe you're not misunderstanding this whole situation here. But it was an interesting piece on race relations, because that's certainly in the nation's mindset at the moment, with all of the protests and trials and so on and so forth that are happening across the country. And in not necessarily in conjunction with that, but along the same vein there, there was an interesting social media post from a retired police officer in this area who put up a post from a law enforcement trainer in response to the question, how come cops don't shoot to wound instead of shooting to kill? You know, and it was, obviously the aftermath of all of the recent cop shootings and killings by police. And it was interesting in that it talked about how, and this again is from a law enforcement trainer, talks about how hitting a target is a lot harder than you think, especially in chaotic situations that police find themselves in. And so they actually are trained to just shoot for the biggest target, which is the torso, the body, not an arm or a leg. And I guess, if you're trying to fend off someone who is endangering your life, that makes the most sense. That is logical. But in my mind, it also begs a further exploration into some of the concealed carry crowd who speak of. And I've run into this multiple times, including in my own family, who you run into this discussion how they believe that they are going to be your protector and your savior in such a chaotic situation. Say somebody, some whack job goes off in a supermarket or a public place or a country concert or whatever it has been or might be. These folks think that by carrying, they will be there to protect themselves, obviously, but also you. But I've seen various examination of this sort of stuff, videos of people put in truly stressful situations like that, and their ability to hit a target, as per the law enforcement trainer, their ability to actually hit a target, really slim.
Oh.
And I think, unfortunately, too many of these people have been watching too many John Wick and Jason Bourne films and believe that, the good guy with the gun is going to have, every shot is going to be a kill shot. They are going to be able to slide across the floor on their backs with their legs twisted around like pretzels and fire off a shot and nail the bad guy in the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Thanks for that little bit of unreality. So, I don't know. It's just an interesting discussion there by, or post by the law enforcement trainer as, you know, law enforcement tries to come to terms with the issues that that they have and that they're dealing with. They're being assaulted on all fronts, rightfully so in some cases, wrongfully in others. And where it goes from here, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that adding more guns to the mix is the answer, which is what so many, not so many, but certainly a certain number of people believe is the right way to go. Everybody's packing, we're all safer. I don't know. Really? That doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of common sense to me.
No, I just do like my mother did to me. If I run into people that are acting weird, I just point my finger at them and say, "Now you stop that."
You know, the world would be a lot safer if that's what it came to. Just a bunch of people pointing fingers, go, "You stop that." Yeah. And then a really nasty situation, you throw in a tisk, tisk, tisk.
Oh, yeah. I used to get that, too.
Yeah, yeah, that'll get them. That'll get them to back off, to stand down, so to speak. Other interesting readings that I found over the weekend. I actually saw, we talk quite a bit about electric vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of that. They had the TV commercial for that new electric Cadillac that I was talking about last week.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
The Lyric. I was on the Oscars last night.
Oh.
Oh, my God. What a beautiful vehicle that is. Wow. It's like, I want one, but it's not available for another 2 years.
Oh.
And I certainly won't have the money for it then anyway, but still. it was really gorgeous. But anyway, we hear so much about, you know, the advantages of electric vehicles over gas-powered and internal combustion engines and so on and so forth as far as cost and maintenance, blah, blah, blah. But I've never actually seen a side-by-side comparison, and I finally saw one over the weekend. Some guy did an actual cost comparison between a Tesla and a gas-powered vehicle. Now, he chose a particular model of BMW, because that, according to his assessment, was a direct competitor with the Tesla. They would be, you know, like vehicles that you might shop for, price-wise and so on and so forth, luxury-wise. Only thing is that this particular BMW required premium gas. So, you know, that made a difference, obviously, in the cost comparison. But even if it was regular gas versus premium gas, I think the difference would be significant because he found over 75,000 miles, which was about 3 years' worth for him. It cost him $1,400 over those over that 75,000 miles to charge his vehicle. Fuel costs over that same time frame or length for the BMW, over $8,000. So $1,400 versus $8,000 in just basic fuel costs. And it was quite fascinating to see that he, you know, he talked about how he did the vast bulk of his charging at home off of his, you know, off of his own home grid.
I see.
If you will. And he only, I think only of all the driving he did, only 8% of his charging were actually done out in the field at various charging stations. So, you know, the bulk of it was just coming out of his own electric bill.
I hope there's a, they give you a map to where you can go to.
Yeah, they do. They do. Now, and then, you know, he was talking about how he was able to charge overnight when, you know, usage is low and rates are a little lower and that kind of stuff. And he went into pretty significant detail on all this thing. But the numbers are pretty significant, I think, and impressive. Of fuel cost to fuel cost in similar vehicles, 1,400 versus over 8,000. So,
wow.
I just found that interesting because, like I said, we talk a lot about, you know, the coming age of electric vehicles and whether or not it's going to be a big deal. But that brings to mind, you know, the question of power generation. And then somebody had a story on that the other over the weekend, too, about how, you know, we know we're decommissioning coal and oil fueled plants, but we're the world is also and I think Fareed Zakaria had something on that Sunday morning. We're also, the world is also decommissioning nuclear power plants right and left.
They're getting old.
Yeah.
Right up the road here, too.
Right. Yeah, we're losing one in the covert, a couple of years? Within five, certainly.
Yeah, maybe next year.
I don't know. Soon. But he says there's a new technology for nuclear power plants, too, that are making them way easier to build and safer and so on and so forth. And so I found that interesting.
They still have nowhere to put the waste.
Right.
Old fuel.
And he mentioned that, too. There's all this hype and hullabaloo over what to do with the waste. He says if you collected all of the nuclear waste in the country from all of the various nuclear facilities, it would cover a football field and not even as deep as the goalposts. So imagine that in your mind. A football field covered with these barrels but stacked up to the point where they're not as high as the goalposts.
Hmm.
That's all of the nuclear waste in the country right now. He also mentioned that people forget or don't think about or just ignore the fact that even though we had a meltdown at Three Mile Island, nobody died, nobody got sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's obviously an advocate of nuclear power as a safe alternative and clean alternative because it's virtually emission-free. It was an interesting discussion on that. I do have a COVID update for you before we roll into sports here again. Michigan numbers still suck. 4,700 new cases on Saturday, although that is down from about 5,000 on Friday. 121 dead on Saturday. Just for comparison's sake, Ontario, we had 4,700. They had 7,423. On the other end of that spectrum, Oklahoma, zero. Hmm. No new cases Saturday in Oklahoma. And then, of course, you've heard about India. They've recorded record infections 4 days in a row now. Their country is just blowing up. They're running out of oxygen.
Yeah.
They've got people, you know, laying on floors outside of hospitals. They got nowhere for them to go. It's a mess over there. To that end, by the way, appointments now to get your COVID Moderna vaccine tomorrow at Lake Michigan College. 18 and older, reserve an appointment between 9 and 4. Call them 927-5100. You can schedule online. Walk-ins will be welcome whilst supplies are available. So if you've been waiting, if you haven't had a chance, tomorrow between 9 and 4 at Lake Michigan College. So there's that.